yet. I shared with you in Sunday school a very disturbing and alarming thing that's taking place up north in some of the public schools. If you were here, you heard that. They're putting litter boxes in the men's room and boys' room, men's room and girls' room, in case you feel like you are an animal. This is real. I'm not joking. This is not a joke. This is something real that's taking place
here in
our public schools today. There's litter boxes there in the public school bathrooms. In case you feel like an animal, you can use the litter box instead of the normal things that we would use. Parents are seeing this and are getting their kids out of those public schools and putting them into Christian schools. And the schools up north in the Adirondacks are getting inundated with students. They have to turn some away because their school is only large enough to take so many kids in. But parents are getting fed up with some of this nonsense that's going on in our schools.
That's right.
This is going on in our public schools.
That's right.
And there's no cats in the school. They're doing it for the students. You know how if you feel like a lady, you can use the ladies' room of guy, you know. If a lady feels like a guy, tomorrow she can use the... It's very, 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 very
disturbing.
Immoral, disturbing. The morals in this country have just rotted away. We're in a lot of trouble. This country is in a lot of trouble. This world is in a lot of trouble. Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
He is the only fix. Christ is our only hope. Winning people to Christ is the only hope for this country. Praying for your officials, the leaders, lifting their name up to God and asking for God to save their souls somehow, some way. God can do that as long as somebody will take the gospel to them. That's our only hope, folks. I know that the Lord is coming back soon. If you're able to stand, please stand with me as I read a verse. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. If you even can go back that far in your memory banks, hit the little rewind button in your brain, or zoom back to next last week. And this is where we're going to pick up where I left off last week. In Psalm 116, for the sake of time, I'm just going to read one verse, verse 12, and then we're going to get into the message. Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? My theme for the last 2 weeks, last week and this week, is very simply the first four words of that verse. What shall I render? What do I owe the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? Do I owe Him anything? Do you owe Him anything at all? Or do you just think that you deserve everything that you have?
Yeah.
A lot of people feel that way today.
Right.
I'm saved, going to heaven, I'll go out and live my life any old way I want.
Right.
I'll just do what I want to do. Preacher, don't bother me with the church. Don't bother me with anything else. I'll go out and live the way I want to live. That's a very destructive and a wrong attitude to have.
Amen.
I owe the Lord my entire love and life. I gave you four things last week about the things that we should owe the Lord back. We can never pay Him back for everything. You know that. I know that. Can't do it. But we owe Him some things.
Yes.
And that little phrase, what shall I render, really speaks to my heart. What shall I render? What are you going to do? How are you going to pay the Lord back? I know you can't do it, but can you at least attempt to return something back to the Lord that He's done for you? Yes, you can. Father, bless the message. Use it for Your honor and for Your glory. Speak to all of our hearts here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. What shall I render? Two friends met each other on the street one day. Two guys were friends. And the one guy noticed the face, the countenance of his friend. He just looked down and discouraged and despondent. He went up to him and he says, I don't know his name. I didn't give the name of this illustration, but he says, What's wrong? What's bothering you? He says, well, 3 weeks ago, my aunt died and left me $50,000. The guy says, well, that's a lot of money. That's a good thing. So what's wrong? He says, well, 2 weeks ago, my cousin died and left me $100,000. Great. Why are you looking sad? He says, well, last week, I had another relative die, and she left me $500,000 last week. So he's looking at his countenance, and his countenance is fallen, and he's just not right. He says, well, what's wrong? He says, this week I got nothing. This week I got nothing.
Yeah.
You were,
right.
Did you get it yet?
Yeah.
And then Peter Ricciardi says, you'll get it next week by train. That's what he always used to say. We're always wanting more, it seems like.
Yeah.
We get a little bit, and we want a little bit more. We get a little money in a, you know, in our pocket or our savings or in our checks. If you work and you get a paycheck, you always want a little bit more. Those of us that are on retirement now, pretty much, we enjoy when we hear, hey, Social Security may go up a little bit next year. Woohoo! We get all excited when Social Security goes up a few percentage points or whatever. But they always raise the other thing, the Medicare thing or whatever that is. They always, you know, they give you a little bit more here, but they take it over here. So it pretty much is. But we're always looking for a little bit more. You get a nice little toy. Kids are like this. But you big kids are the same way. You get something nice, you want something, maybe a little bit nicer next time. A little bit bigger next time. A little bit shinier next time. You want a little bit more of it. That's the way we are naturally. It takes a supernatural change to make us be content with what we have. Paul the Apostle said he had to learn contentment.
Amen.
There's a learning process that goes in our lives, and we have to learn to be content. Well, again, last week we discussed benefits. Again, that verse says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And I shared with you in Sunday school, if you were here, that there is a difference slightly between a blessing and a benefit. Not much. They seem to overlap a lot. And when we talk about benefits and blessings, we'll name sometimes the same thing when we talk about, hey, name me some benefits, name me some blessings, right? We did that our last 2 weeks in Sunday school. But a blessing, this is what Webster says, is any means of happiness. This is a blessing. Any means of happiness, a gift, or advantage, or bounty. Now, Noah Webster says that in his 1828 dictionary. Any means of happiness, gift, or advantage, or bounty. Bless, that's what a blessing is. Over 500 times in the Word of God, bless or its forms, blessing, blessings, whatever, or blessed, is used in the Bible over 500 times. We see that mentioned in Scripture. Now, a benefit. What's a benefit? Well, Mr. Webster says, it's an act of kindness. That's what a benefit is. It's to do good to. It's to make improvements. It's to profit, he says. That's what that is. Benefit is mentioned, the word benefit is mentioned 5 times in the Bible. Benefits, plural, is mentioned only 3 times in the Bible. We looked at all 3 verses last week in the message. So there's a lot more about blessings than it is about benefits. But this verse says, so it says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? Lord? When I look at that word benefits, I equate that many times with blessings. Right? Blessings of God, the benefits of God, the things that we have. This author wrote this. He literally took some of God's blessings and he's got 11 of them mentioned. I'm just going to read them quick, so don't ask me to repeat them. But he says, the blessings of God is an acceptance that never can be questioned.
Yeah.
God took me as part of his family, erased my past, and never asks me any more questions about my past. He never brings up my past. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Secondly, he says it's an inheritance that can never be lost.
Thank the Lord.
Thank God. The Lord doesn't lose me somewhere.
Yeah.
Thank God I can't lose my salvation.
Amen.
Praise God for that. Thirdly, he says a deliverance that can never be excelled. What we have from God is the best in the universe.
Amen.
It can't get any better than this.
Right.
Sometimes we walk around all, you know, discouraged and just depressed and down and the woe is me attitude, the depression sometimes that people go through. It doesn't get any better than this except when we go to heaven. We still have a lot to be thankful for right now as a Christian. Get all of the junk out of the world. You're going to hear something tonight that is very, very apt to of the guys are get done preaching, you're going to hear something really encouraging tonight that I'm going to play for you. When I first listened to it, tears were coming down my cheeks. Anyway, number four, he says this, a grace that can never be limited. Isn't that good? God's grace is not limited. Number five, a hope that can never be disappointed.
That's right.
What does America need now more than anything? Hope.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
That's what we need. The horrible news of this past week in Texas, 2 weeks ago in Buffalo, and the things that are going on with our young people today. They have no hope.
That's right.
That's right.
There's no hope whatsoever. They have nothing to live for. Sad. Number six, he said, a bounty that can never be withdrawn. A bounty that can never be withdrawn. Number seven, he says, a joy that need never be diminished. You don't have a good excuse not to have joy in your heart and in your life. You don't have a good excuse for not being happy every day of your life. I know things get us down and we're all in time. But you don't really have a good excuse for that.
Right.
When you start thinking about salvation and Jesus Christ and everything He did on the cross for you, that ought to eliminate your sadness and discouragement and all that other stuff.
Amen.
A joy that can never be diminished. Number eight, he said, a nearness to God that can never be reversed. Number nine, a peace that can never be disturbed.
Thank you, Lord.
10, a righteousness that can never be tarnished.
That's good.
And number 11, a salvation that can never be canceled.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. A salvation that can never be canceled.
Amen.
Come on, aren't you a little glad now?
Amen.
Aren't you a little bit happy? Just a little?
Amen.
And you just have a little smile there? Last week we said this. What do I owe the Lord? Well, first thing I said is we owe Him what?
Love.
Our love. Our love. We owe Him our love. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God commendeth His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend.
Amen.
He loves me because... Or I love Him because He first loved me. I paraphrase that a little bit, but that's, I love God because He first loved me. I owe Him my love. We are commanded in Scripture to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with our entire being. We are told to love the Lord and love our neighbor as ourselves. You already love you. We got that down. We know that. I love me. You love you. Don't sit there and say, I don't love me. Yeah, you do. You love me. You love me. The Bible is always right. We're always wrong. Please remember that.
Amen.
But we owe the Lord our love. Secondly, we owe the Lord our, those of you that remember anything from last week or took notes, we owe the Lord our life. By the way, this is easy for you. I make it easy for me, so it's easy. They all start with an L. Okay? Simple. It's the way I am. A little simple. We owe the Lord our life. He gave me His life. Why can't I give my life back to Him? Why can't we be a daily sacrifice? Every day, giving our life to Christ. Lord, how can You use me today? Lord, use me today. I'm not worthy to be used, but Lord, through Your grace and mercy, I want to be used.
Amen.
Lead me to somebody to talk to about You. Lead me to that verse that I need maybe in my life. Lead me, Lord, somehow, some way. But Lord, I want You to take my life and let it be consecrated unto Thee. There's only one life to give. How's that little phrase? One life. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last.
Amen.
We owe the Lord our life. Thirdly, we owe the Lord our
loyalty.
Loyalty. The only requirement that God puts on me is my faithfulness. Right? What does God require of any of us? It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. That's loyalty. That's Lord, I'm here for you. Lord, I'll work for you. I'll serve you. I'll preach for you until you tell me no more. And we need people in our churches today that are loyal to their churches. Not just to the church, but to their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And loyal to the service that God puts you in. If you have a ministry, you need to be loyal to that ministry. You should be loyal to the ministry that God has given to you. If so many times over the years, the 32 years that we've been here, some people come and they feel God calling them into doing something, and when we put them into that ministry situation, they're good for a little while, but then it kind of fizzles out over time. They lose their loyalty to that ministry. And then we have to find somebody else to replace them. It's important to make sure that you know that loyalty is big with the Lord, big with God. You have a ministry right now in this church. Be loyal to it. Don't miss. Don't stop. Be loyal to it. We know that things happen and things take place in lives, but we need, God wants our loyalty to Him. And then the fourth thing we said is, I owe the Lord my labor. I owe Him my labor. I owe Him my service. Jesus Christ served His Father.
Amen.
He served every one of us until the day, the moment He died. Aren't you glad He didn't stop serving us just in the Garden of Gethsemane? Aren't you glad He made His way out of the garden? And they arrested Him and they took Him to Pilate and then Herod and Pilate and Sanhedrin and seven times back and forth. Aren't you glad that He went all the way to the cross for us? What do I owe Him? Do I owe Him any of that? Do I owe Him any of my labor? Of course I do. It's a blessing when I read that letter earlier from Brother Zemeski. He just retired from being the pastor of the church there in Ireland, but he's still in the church, still serving. Someday I'm going to step aside here. I'm going to let the younger people, younger person, Mr. Taylor, if he's still willing to do it, step behind the pulpit and take over. Someday I'm going to do that. I'm just letting you know that ahead of time. You know that. I've been here 32 years this Friday. Someday I'm just going to step aside, but I'm not going to step out of the ministry.
Right.
I'm still going to be available for the ministry. If he needs me here to do something, I'll do it. I'll be his little servant. Hey, you don't have to call me pastor. Come here, I need this done. Yes, sir. He'll be the pastor or something. And I will obey him. Just as you obey me. I'm not lording over you. You know what I'm trying to say. But someday I'll step aside. Maybe God will call me off somewhere. Maybe He won't. My goal is to stay right here in this church and serve the Lord here. That's my goal. If He wants me off preaching somewhere else once in a while, I'd be glad to do that. But my goal is to stay here. This is where my roots are. My roots go deep here. Nobody better try to destroy and hurt my roots. But this is where my roots are. This is where I plan on staying. If God allows me to do that. I just want to do whatever God wants me to do.
Amen.
When I get the word from heaven that it's time to step aside, that's when I'm going to step aside. But I ain't doing that until I get the word from heaven, from the Holy Spirit. You hear me? Not doing that based on my own feelings or based upon my want-tos. I need warm weather in the winter, but I'm not going to do that unless the Lord tells me to do that. I owe Him my labor until the day I die. And I hope and pray that we all have that attitude. I'll serve the Lord until the day I die. Or until I hear a really loud trumpet.
Amen.
I'm praying for that. I asked the Lord this morning. I said, Lord, I've been here a long time, and Kathy and I will be married 49 years on the 9th of June. Lord, let me see 50. Let us see 50 together. I said, Lord, and I'd really like to go in the rapture with her.
That's good.
Amen.
That's good.
Amen.
I don't want to go before, and I certainly don't want her to go before me.
That's good.
Amen. Lord, would you just take us home together?
Amen.
I don't know if you'll allow that or not, but that's my desire. I'd like to do that. And I think the rapture is fairly close. Yes, I think it is. Let me give you the fifth thing that I wrote down here in my Bible. I got these all written down in my Bible with some scripture, but here's number five I wrote down. I owe the Lord my leisure. My leisure. Remember, these all start with L, so just bear with me. I owe God my leisure. Look at Mark chapter 6. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, let me give you something to try to encourage you a little bit with this, alright? You ever go on vacation? Huh? How many of you like to go on vacation once in a while?
300 days a year.
Alright? What?
300 days a year.
The head. You need to get a job, bro. What do you mean? You've been on vacation way too long. We all like to go on vacation once in a while, right? Walk somewhere, maybe do something. Or maybe just like sit back and do nothing for a week or two. That's fine too, right? Sometimes people don't travel away on vacation. Sometimes people love to go on trips. And with the gas prices right now, I don't know what you'll do, but... But we owe the Lord even our leisure time. It's interesting that the Lord even taught His disciples that they need a little leisure once in a while. Mm-hmm. Look at verse 31 of Mark chapter 6. Are you there?
Amen.
And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, He came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis, and they bring unto Him one that was deaf.
Where are you?
And He said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no what?
Leisure
so much as to eat. I'm sorry, I was reading the next chapter. I knew that didn't sound right. It was the page's fault. The pages did that by itself. You know what I mean? Like somebody else other than me, right?
Paul, might be out there sooner than you think.
Yeah, I know. It's good to get away at times for some rest and some leisure. It is good. I have no problem with that. We've gone on vacation with our family. We took 2 weeks to the Grand Canyon one time. Remember that? Joanna had her car and she followed. We had an old van, but only half the family could get in the van. The other half family had to get in their car, and we traveled to the Grand Canyon for 2 weeks and back that way. And then she lost us in Arizona, New Mexico. Couldn't find her for out. All we didn't have, that was before cell phones. We had this little walkie-talkie between us. The cheap walkie-talkie that maybe goes a quarter of a mile or a mile, right? We figured if we could stay that close, we could stay in touch. Well, she zoomed by us, apparently, and we didn't know it. We're just driving along, and she's gone. And, Papa Fett and Joanna, Papa. Nothing. No response. No, nothing. And we became panicked. Kathy and I mean, we really got nervous. We got upset. We got a hold of the police. We got the police involved, looking for this car, looking for this carload of girls running down the main road without us. We were wondering, will we ever see the other half of our family again? And then finally, all of a sudden, over this little walkie-talkie, there's her voice. One of the kids, I forget who. And we found them. And she had passed us, and she thought that we saw her. We didn't. I'm just oblivious, you know. But we had a good time. It was a fun trip. It was very interesting, but it was a fun trip. We like to do things like that. The kids growing. We took the boys out to Seattle. We took the boys down to San Diego. We've been all over the country doing different things. We like to do a little vacation once in a while. And take the kids here and there if they can go. And as they grew older, some were working. TJ never got a chance to go anywhere with us. That's why he's the way he is today.
That's why I went to college.
And we waited for him to go to college so we could then leave. We always, Kathy and I always wanted to leave and never give our forwarding address anything. That's a joke. But it's good to get away. Even the Lord was trying to get away with his disciples. Do you see that? In that verse? And he said unto them, come ye. The Lord saying, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Did the Lord need rest?
Yes.
Come on now, he's God. Did he need rest?
Yes.
Yes, he did. Why did he need rest? He was in a human body. The Lord needed to eat. He needed to drink. He needed to breathe the air. He needed rest. He needed to sleep. He needed everything that you and I need. But he also realized that the disciples needed some rest at times too. That's when he said, come ye. It was like he's inviting them. He's not telling them to go and do it. He's saying, come ye. Did you see that? Mm-hmm. Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. They were so busy, they didn't even have time to have their dinner. And so the Lord says, you know what? Guys, we need to get away and do a little rest. There's nothing wrong with that. But I need to owe the Lord even my leisure time. Yeah. I told this to you before, and I really mean it. When Kathy and I go away anywhere, we make sure we're in church on Wednesday night if we're gone during the week.
Yeah.
We're going on a Sunday, we're in church on that Sunday.
Right. Yeah.
We just do that. We 3 years ago, we went to Hawaii for that time, and we were in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and we were there Wednesday night in that church in Hawaii that we attended. When we go away, we always make sure that we know where there's a church, a Bible-believing Baptist church that we can attend and spend that time worshiping the Lord with them there. So when you go on your little vacation, do you do the same thing?
Yep.
You should. If you don't know where there's a church, you ought to come to me. I'll figure out, try to get you in a good church if I know that. But make sure that when you go away, you're not vacationing on God. Take your vacation, take your leisure, but make sure you take the Lord with
you.
So if we go off in the RV or if we go off, I take my Bible. I don't leave my Bible back on the desk.
Amen.
I take it with me. Why? I read it every day. I can't remember the last time I didn't read my Bible during a day somewhere. I can't remember the last time I didn't read my Bible. I read it every day. I was in Puerto Rico. You know what I did every day? Got up every morning, made my coffee, sat down and read the Bible. I'm sorry, I got to have coffee in the morning. Got to have my two cups. Give me 2 cups of coffee and I am good for the day. I am ready for the day, but I got to have a couple cups of coffee first. I like coffee. Puerto Rico, I went to a coffee plantation. That's how much I like coffee. Oh, you already heard? Can I preach about the coffee plantation?
That's all. I had to put his phone on slow speed.
Yes. But we owe the Lord even our leisure.
That's right.
We don't go on vacation and leave the Lord back at the church. Because he goes everywhere we go. You go on a trip, you're taking the Lord with you. Whether you like it or not, God's going with you. If you're saved, God's traveling with you. Remember how you talk in the car, because God is there. Amen. He's right there with you. He knows everything you're saying. He knows everything you're thinking. He knows everywhere you're going. God is with you. If you're saved, when you go somewhere, you take God with you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. I really like that coffee plantation. It was really neat. I'd never been to a coffee plantation before. Never been to one. That first time I saw coffee bean trees. I said, can I take one of these trees home and plant it in my backyard? Can I have coffee all the time? And, oh, they won't grow up there where you are. No. Man, how sad that is. I might be able to put it in the house somewhere or the office. Yeah. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, 10:31, 1 Corinthians, 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, what's it say? Do all to the glory of God. Does God have your leisure? Does God have your fun time? Does God have your downtime? Does God have everything about you? Take a vacation, but don't take it on God. Take God with you. Go on a trip, but don't leave God back in Seneca Falls. Seneca Bible Baptist. This is where, you know, we come back to church, and this is where I meet up with God again. No. Joe, how many miles from Holland to here? 670 miles. Joe just got into town from Michigan. Here he is in church this morning. He could have stayed in. Where are you staying, Joe?
Syracuse.
He could have stayed in bed this morning. He's probably tired from all that driving. That's a lot of driving.
Amen.
You look tired, Joe. You tired this morning, Joe?
Coffee.
Coffee. You need some more coffee? I'll make you a cup after church. Whatsoever. The Bible says, whatever it is we do, do all to the glory of God. I just bring this verse up. You know what it says, but I have it in my notes, so can I read it to you?
Yeah.
I'll let you turn to it. Hebrews 10:25. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. What does that mean, assembling ourselves together? I think that means the church. I think that means that when we gather together in church, we are assembling ourselves together.
Yep.
Didn't we do that this morning?
Yeah.
We assembled ourselves together. Came together this morning. You actually made it an effort to come to church. You got in a vehicle and you came to church. You made an effort. You got up. You cleaned up. Whatever it is, you dressed appropriate, you know, good, and you came to church. Praise God for that. Good to be in the house of God on a Sunday morning. I think that's where everybody belongs on a Sunday morning.
Amen.
I have voiced my opinion to a few people in church about our camera situation there. I wasn't really for it at first, because I was afraid that it was going to keep people home and they could have the attitude, oh, we'll just watch it online. It says, not forsaking the assembly, coming together. Now, I had some people tell me, yeah, but it's important. There's people that can't get to church. If you can't get to church, they ought to be able to see the service. Okay, all right. I don't ever want that camera to be an excuse to stay home and not, if you can come to church, you should come to church. That's what we should do. We should come to church.
Amen.
Not just say, I'm too tired. I don't feel like it. Oh, there are people, I know there's some people this morning that are watching online that could not be here. And praise God for that. They can have a part of the service. But it's nothing like gathering together.
Amen.
Come on, don't tell me that is just as good, because it's not. I've had several people tell me that when they're away, it's wonderful to come back.
Amen.
In Puerto Rico, I joined in on some of the services that I had time to do down there. I joined in on the Sunday night services. When the guys were preaching on that Sunday that I was gone, I watched all of the services, Sunday school, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. I wasn't able to watch it live because I was doing our own services down at the Maranatha Baptist. But I know it has its advantages, but I don't ever want it to have a disadvantage where it keeps people home.
Right.
If the Lord allows you to do something special, take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. The Lord allows you to go on a vacation, take advantage of it. He allows you to travel, take advantage of it. If you have the extra money to put in your gas tank, take advantage of it. Oh, by the way, gas prices are just going to keep going up, 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 up. So, just wanted to share that with you today, too. But we owe the Lord our leisure. We owe that too. Whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do all to the glory of God. That's our leisure. That's any time we do. That's tomorrow, Memorial Day. How many of you don't have to work tomorrow that have a job? All right, we got a few. How many of you have to work tomorrow that you have a job you still have to work? Okay, Laura, I understand. She's got a baby, a child. Yes. Mothers never get a day off, do they?
Nope.
A couple of Walmart employees got to work, right? Okay. Yeah, Walmart doesn't shut down on Memorial Day. Some places don't. Do you have to go in tomorrow, Bonnie? Oh, good. You have to work tomorrow? No. So the hospitals and everything, they're shut down tomorrow, huh? Well, praise God. Well, I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
I don't work inpatient anymore.
Okay, all right. So our healthcare workers are off tomorrow. That's a plus. But many times we'll gather together with family, friends, might have a cookout or whatever, you know, invite people over. That's even a leisure time. Let's not leave the Lord off somewhere. Let's invite Him to come with us. Make sure that our actions and our words are biblical and scriptural and spiritual. Let's act like we're Christians, no matter where it is we are. We owe the Lord our leisure. Let me give you one more, because I don't have time to get through all of these. Matthew 11:28. Matthew 11:28. Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's a blessing, isn't it? "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest on your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We owe the Lord our learning. This verse does not say lean on me. It says learn of me. There's a difference. Some people misquote that verse. And they say, you know, hey, we got, the Lord says take a yoke upon him and we got to lean on him. No, it doesn't say lean on him. It says learn of me. We must learn. I owe the Lord my learning. I'll never, ever be the scholar that some men are scholars. I just won't be. It takes me a lot to learn things.
Yep.
That's just the way my brain is. You know, God makes us all different. Some people can pick up things real quick and learn real easy and real fast. And some of us, it takes a lot of work to learn things, to memorize things, to really gain and glean from certain things. I mean, we're all different, folks. Don't pick on somebody that's not learning as fast as you learn.
Amen. That's right.
I have to remind myself a lot if I'm helping kids in our school with math. Me, I like math. Math was one of my favorite subjects in school. I enjoy math to a certain extent. Some of this hard stuff today. But, you know, you're trying to teach a kid 2 + 2, and it's easy for you. You know exactly it's 5. But you're trying to teach that child a simple math equation, and you've got it down up here. And come on, you ought to know this. Come on. 2 + 2, you know what it is. No, they don't know yet.
That's right.
Or when you're trying to help them read something.
Yeah.
And a child is just learning how to read. And you know how to read really well. But you're listening to them read. And they're trying to sound out a word. And after about 10 minutes of the one word, you finally say the word. That word is whatever it is. Now say it.
Okay.
You know, they're ready to cry. I used to make my kids cry sometimes. TJ, remember? TJ, what was my words?
Come on, the basketball game's on.
Yeah, when Syracuse was playing, we literally shut down everything. I got over that. Now he's that same way. Like father, like son. Well, here in school, I'd say, to the board. Remember that? To the board. Get to the board. I'll teach you this thing. But I didn't have a lot of patience. Because I knew it, and he didn't, or she didn't, or whoever. And that's the way we find ourselves. But how does the Lord feel when we read the Bible and we just don't get it? Think about that. I've read this, I don't know how many times I've read through the Bible. There are still things I don't understand. I still have to ask God every time I sit down and read the Word, Lord, please teach me. Please show me. Holy Spirit, guide me. Please, I need that instruction. I need that revelation. I need that inspiration. God, please, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God, please help me with this. Lord, I don't understand this passage. Lord, I don't get this chapter. Lord, I don't understand this book. Lord, I don't understand. Please help me. And the Lord is saying, okay, you think the Lord gets all over us when I have to ask Him to help me out of verse or something? Of course not. He's patient with us. We owe Him our learning. We need to read and study and meditate and memorize the Scriptures. Amen. Every day. Amen. Every day you pick up this book and you read something from it. Every day. You pick up the Bible and you read something from it. And you study it. You meditate on it. You think about what it's just said to you. Memorize Scripture. Hide God's Word in your heart so you don't sin against Him. We owe God our learning. He gave us this book. He didn't give this book to you just for you to let sit around and gather dust and dust it off once a month. He didn't give you the Bible just for you to just carry it to church so you look like a really good Christian. He didn't give that book for you just for something to sit down, and it bothers me when I see kids do this. In our school, we're all James is always on him for that, and I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
We don't like to set things on our Bible.
Amen. No. Amen.
Don't you ever set a coffee cup or a glass on the Word of God?
Right. Forget it.
And when I see a child drop the Bible on the floor, that bothers me too. It really does. Mm-hmm. This is the Word of God.
That's right.
Amen.
That doesn't mean you don't go around, you don't have to go around kissing it, and you don't worship this. You worship the God of the Word.
Amen.
Right.
Right. But are you spending any time in this book every day of your life? Mm-hmm. You have respect for the Word of God.
Amen.
So much so that you obey what it says. You obey the Bible.
All right.
I don't know if you do or not. I'm just asking a question. Do you obey God's Word? Do you know what it says on certain subjects throughout the Bible? Do you know what it says about certain things? There's an abortion issue going on in this country. Do you know what the Bible says about that particular subject?
Amen.
Do you know the verses that you can go to or maybe lead somebody or show somebody or help somebody that's struggling with that? Do you know what the Bible says against homosexuality, against all kinds of things? Do you know what the Bible says about that? You know what the Bible says about sin? Or you have no idea. No clue. So many today don't know what the Bible says about certain things. So they're living their life, doing their own thing, going their own way. I'll do it my way. Don't bother me. We owe the Lord our learning. One verse and we'll be done today. Look at Acts 17, verse 11. What we need in our churches today, what we need in this church, and thank God we have a bunch. We need Berean Christians today. We need Berean believers today. Acts 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. I believe that daily reading God's Word is biblical. That's why I say it. Read it every day. Some people might have the thought, well, do I really need to read it every day? Well, that's what it says in this verse. The Bereans, they search the Scriptures daily. Daily. That means Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then they start it over again. We will finish reading the New Testament here at the end of June. We start it again the 1st of July, right?
Yep.
We'll finish the book of Psalms, and we'll start it again. December 31st, we finish reading the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Yep.
Guess what do we do on January 1st?
Again.
We don't say, oh, I'm so glad I got through the Bible this past year. I don't think I'll read it again. Some Christians do that. I got through it once. No, when you finish it, you start all over again.
Amen.
And you just start again.
Amen.
That's right. At the end of my Bible, you probably can't see it, but I crossed off the words, the end. Scribbled them out. In my other Bible, I wrote a little note there saying, the Bible is a circle. You just start all over again. There's no ending to reading God's Word, right?
No.
I know it. You know, the publisher wrote that because that was the end of the book of Revelation. That's the end of the book. But really, it's not the end of the book.
Right.
I go from Revelation 22:21 to Genesis 1:1.
Yeah.
That's what I do. And I hope and pray that you do the same thing. We owe the Lord our learning.
Yeah.
Next week, I'll give you the last two. Unless the Lord gives me some more between now and then. But we owe the Lord some more things, and I want to cover them next week. Father, bless this invitation. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you again, Lord, for being our Lord and Savior. You're so good to us. We don't deserve anything we have, but thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings and benefits that you give to us. I pray that you speak to every heart that's here, Lord. You know who's saved. You know who isn't. You know who's drifting away. You know who's close to you. And so, Father, I pray that your perfect will would be done during our invitation right now. If somebody needs to be saved, I pray that they'll come forward and talk to us. Lord, if somebody in the here that needs to just talk to you and pray to you, Lord, I pray that that will be done. Father, we pray for those that are listening right now online. Pray that you'd speak to their hearts. We pray that you'd deal with them where you see fit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Rich, what are you playing?
308.
308. Take your hymn books. Turn to 308. Let's sing this as he plays. Would you come if you